folks on the back row, they just kick, cackle, and all that. He's a welder and mechanic and whatever else, and they look clean. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10. I was trying to get my thoughts collected on when you think you're a stud. But they'll have to come later. They'll have to come another time. Too soon? Take your Bible. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing thing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than sparrows. And whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray your blessings upon now these that have gathered. Be with those that could not be. May you right every wrong, save the soul near his tail. And Lord, we'll thank you for exalting your name through thy servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on confessing the Lord before men. I think about all these little boys that are here, and boy, they're always right in their place, all of them dressed up, nice looking, and so forth. All these young ladies that are here that are just all gussied up. That's a good term, by the way. They're ready to go, look nice, they're pretty, dressed up in their fine attire, and this and that. I got to tell you right now is that it's not coming to church dressed up real good. It's coming to the house of God with the robe of righteousness that God has put upon you. And if you don't know that yet and you haven't turned to that yet, then I hope that I'll get your undivided attention. Every one of these young men, every one of these young ladies, you're like I was, born without hope and without God. And you need to come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I'm glad and thank God he's in the saving business. He would not bring you into the world and have you want to get saved and then say no to you. But when God's knocking on your heart's door, and Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Some of you young ladies and young men that have never yet professed Christ, have you heard him knocking? Have you felt him knocking on your heart's door? Amen. I got to tell you, he's got to do business with you personally. I can remember the day God came knocking on my heart's door. What a divine knock that is. And let me tell you, not only is it a divine knock, but let me tell you, the greatest and the ruler of all the universe, he that is supreme over every being and everything, has come knocking at your heart's door, and he's done that in order that he might get your attention. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Lord knows all about who we are. He's our Lord, our Savior. He's our Creator. We are his creation. And make no mistake about it, is that he made us a spirit, a soul, and a body. And at the same time, while God's done all of that, the Bible said all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this morning, when we look into it, I want to talk about a little bit, just about for a few minutes, about the call of God. I want to say to you, when the Lord comes knocking and knocking at your heart's door, and when he's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," now the rest of it's going to be up to you. If any man will open. You say, "How do I do that, preacher?" By faith, believe that Jesus had to die for your sin, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose again the third day, went in victory over death, hell, and the grave, and he's come to call you into the family of God. What a glorious thing that is. Well, I will say to you that when you begin to look into that, is sometimes he'll knock, and you didn't answer. He comes back another day, and you don't answer. When you hear that at my house, somebody's at the door, or about a 120-pound yellow lab, well, she's losing a little weight, and she's there beating with her tail. A lot of things happen on the place. I came in last night. The wife and I ran to town for a minute. We came back. Boy, out there in the sales yard, they've got it all decorated up. Got a snowman down there on the end. Got a big old dog with a red hat and this and that. Beautiful looking sign. I look out there this morning. I don't know if they got in a fight with Henry. That's Addison's goat. But then better they were stuffed, knocked here and knocked yonder. And you don't want to mess with Henry. And that, boy, he'll rear up and butt you down there quick, you know. I said all that to be able to say this, is that there's a lot of things happen in life that we have no explanation and we have no proof that it was Henry. I don't want to. We haven't caught him in the act as yet. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that sometimes, you know, that you'll hear a knock of various different people. Sometimes it's the mailman. Not the male lady, because she's not going to come up into our yard. I mean, with a vicious thing like that. I hope Henry gets her one day. But sometime God's knocking at your heart's door. You better not pass it up. One day he may knock for the last time. One day he may knock on the door, give you that golden opportunity, and this will be the last time you said no, no, no. Every time you say no to God, you become a little more cold, a little more calloused. You know, when a person goes to getting up in years, do you ever notice there's not that very many people as they get older and older and older that really come to get saved? They can get saved. Sometimes they do get saved, but there's not nearly as many as there are that has a young, tender heart that wants to be sensitive unto the word of the Lord and the call of God. Number two is, I want to talk about the converting power of Christ. Now, the Bible said the Lord's in the saving business. Remember over there whenever he said Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost? You know what keeps a person from getting saved by the grace of God? They can't never believe Jesus about their lost without God. They can't believe that somebody would love them so much that it would give his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to tell you right now, when Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, when he comes knocking, will you receive him? I remember whenever I received him in the free pardon of sin. And let me say to you that if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, he not only will save your soul, and by the way, he's the only one that can. He bowed his head over 2,000 years ago and gave up the ghost and paid the sin debt for you and I and for the rest of the world. Let me tell you, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus bowed his head and said, "It's finished." That means he's finished redemption for you and I and for whosoever may come. But now I want to tell you, after he bowed his head and gave up the ghost and then rose again the third day victoriously from the grave and won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. When Jesus did that, now the ball's in your park and the move is up to you. You may say, "Well, preacher, I don't know what else to do." I'll tell you what, receive him into your heart. Confess him before men. That's the reason why we got a congregation here, that men and women, people that are saints of God, that can rejoice with you. And when you get saved, you want to tell others about it. And let me tell you, you can't hide that whenever you get born again into the family of God. It makes you want to show up down at God's house. You know, every now and again, somebody say, "Oh, preacher, do you ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed?" Sometimes I do. Somebody said, "Do you ever wake up?" I asked my wife, "Do you ever wake up grouchy?" "Oh, no, I let him sleep as long as he wants to." What an ugly thing to say. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you and I pillow our head at night, if you're born again, you ain't got to worry about where you're going to wake up at. I'm going to wake up on a street of gold. And I guarantee you right now is I'm going to do all I can to hunt, to fish, study the Bible. I said that one time. Somebody said, "I bet in that order too." No, not exactly. I want to put him first in my life and so forth and on, but not every time do I put him first like you do. See, we're just trying to be honest. We know what we ought to do, but we also know the reality of what we do. See? in this lesson that you're looking at, the converting power of the Lord Jesus Christ means that I know He paid my sin debt, and I'm receiving the payment that He's given for me in the free pardon of sin. All right, number three, I want you to notice something about it when you're confessing Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans said, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. I got to tell you, it's a personal call. I knew when God was knocking on my heart's door, it was old Dennis. He is trying to get my attention. If it's you, it's whatever your name is. And let me say to you, not only is it a personal call, but it was a personal confession that He brought out of my heart and mouth. I tell you something, I remembered whenever I prayed through, and I was able to shout glory and to know that the Lord had heard and answered my prayer. I will tell you something right now. God will hear and answer your prayer. But you'll have to be the one to pray it. You'll have to be the one to ask Him. You'll have to be the one to confess to Him. You'll have to be the one to receive Him in the free pardon of sin. You know, if I could get saved for you, I would have already done it. If your mama, your daddy, or anybody in here that's just a Christian, if we could get saved for you, we would have already done that. But you see, we can. That's going to be for you. And let me tell you right now, you're going to have to make the decision that I'm willing to confess Him, I'm willing to receive Him. What keeps you from coming forward and saying, I got saved, I've asked the Lord to save me, I want to follow the Lord in baptism, I want to be a part of this church? What keeps you from doing that? Is it embarrassment? Huh? Are you afraid somebody's going to think something else about you? Well, let them. Most Baptists can't think to start out with, number one. Number two is that wouldn't you rather them think whatever they want to think while you was hell-proof and heaven-bound than to die without hope, without the Lord? You see that? In this lesson, let me say to you, Jesus said that whosoever will confess me before men. Here's some men here. Here's some ladies that are here. Here's some people that are here. You know, when Christ indwells your heart and you've received Him in the free pardon of sin, then now you're a new creature. Behold, He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are past, and behold, all things have become new. Old things are past, all things have become new. And I want to tell you something. Is that whenever you get saved by the grace of God, you're a new creature. And you know what that is? That means you cannot help but tell others about Him. Now, I don't tell everybody that I see up and down the road of life. I don't want to cast pearls before swine. But I do want to be conscientious that if God opens up a door, that I'm able to tell them and talk to them about what Jesus Christ can do in their heart and life. I'm not one of these, and if you are, don't go eat with me anymore. Brother Joe, he's in heaven right now. He is a better witnesser than I was and am. But I don't want to single and buttonhole some waitress that's coming to take my order and make her be on the spot when she has the power to spit in my food. Brother Joe didn't mind. By the way, young lady, before you take this order, now, I mean, the place is packed. Everybody's wanting to get out. Now they're cussing at me because they know me and they don't know who he is. And the lady, you know, she's standing there waiting to get the order. I can tell she's already getting ready to fix my plate. I want to say, what is it that keeps you from confessing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What is it that does that? Don't be embarrassed, because let me tell you right now, yes, I'd rather go ahead and have a little bit of embarrassment than I had to die without hope and without God and spend eternity in a devil's hell that was prepared for the devil and all of his angels. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that when we talk about this call that comes from God, do you know it's the same call that they received in days of old? The same God that gave and that issued the same call is the same call that you and I have issued. Look in verse number 1 of this chapter. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, so forth and on. Let me tell you something, is that when God reaches down and calls you and I into the family of God, it's the same call that they had issued way back when that you and I read in the Bible. Isn't that amazing that God in his divine sense would let you and I hear such a call that comes from his divine lips and the desire from his divine heart? I want to say to you that, if you will, make no mistake about it, is that you'll find the same message is given. I want you to go and preach to other people. And that's what he told those disciples he's about to do. I want you to notice something else that, if you will, please, in this lesson that we're looking at, is that he gives us a warning somewhere along here. And in verse 17, but beware of men. There's something. Beware of men, for they'll deliver you up before the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, the Gentile. In other words, here's what he's saying. Most of the time, governors don't know the Lord. Kings don't know the Lord. And they don't like you because that you have the testimony of Christ. But verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought of how you what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now watch this in verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death. Hey, listen, it may not just be a politician that turns on you. It might be somebody that's kin to you. It might be your parents. It might be a brother. It might be a sister. He says, a brother to death, and said, a father, a child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause him to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't let a little hatred bother you up and down the road of life. The grace of God is not only going to save your soul, but he'll give you that sustaining grace and be able to sustain you in your weakest hour against all foes and against all enemies. In the lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find that we're hated of all men for his name. Hey, isn't that something? Isn't that weird? Wouldn't you think that for one minute that when you got saved that everybody would rejoice with you? But they won't. They won't. When they see the difference in your life that's not in their life, now they begin to get a little envious. They become real critical. They get to the place in their life to where that you have shamed them by your changed life. And they can't change their life. And the only one that can save them and can change them, they refuse to receive him. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, is that whenever you are a child of God, you better get ready to travel. And in verse number 23, there's a passage there, and here's what it said. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. You better get ready to travel a little bit. I mean, there's no need in you going out and saying, well, I ain't not running me out of town. Hey, these disciples here, he knew they were going to be up against it. And he said, whenever they reject you, whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next one. Now, looking about verse number 29. And he says, and he reminds us, are not two sparrows sold for a far thing, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father? And then he goes on and tells you about the hairs of your head being all numbered. God takes notice of you and I. God's concerned about you. And not only that, but here's what he said, fear not, because you're more valuable than sparrows. You know, you're pretty valuable to the Heavenly Father. That's why he's let his Son die on your behalf. Now it's ready up to you to repent toward God that he's given you and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the lesson there, if you read the rest of it, is that you'll find out that in verse number 34, he said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, here's what I've had people tell me in days gone by. They have a lost mama. They have a lost daddy. They've got lost kin folks. They came to church. They got saved. A saved person's burden for lost family members. And when they got to talking to them about their soul's condition, is that naturally they became, I don't know, the object of their family's hatred. And the family would say stuff like this, "That preacher, there's just dividing our family up." God don't intend for that to happen. Read it again. Verse number 34, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be those of his own household. And then notice this here, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to say anything to one of my kin folks. I don't want them hating me like do you, preacher. In fact, most of the time they're going to blame whatever it is they don't like about you. They're going to blame that on me or somebody else. You see what I'm talking about? Couldn't be that sweet little thing I brought up as a child. They're going to blame you, and they're going to blame me, and they're going to blame others. But I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, God intends for you and I to stir our own family up and show them the difference between being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. I want to say to you that, if you will, that whosoever shall confess me before men. And that means people that are around you. That means a congregation in the church. Here the other day we had a young man that got saved and came forward. Remember that? I remember when some of you did that. And confessed Christ and believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. The Bible said, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Will you be one of those few? Then as we get ready to give an invitation, maybe you're here while our song director comes, while our musicians are coming. Maybe you're here this morning and God has been tugging at your heart for a while. There may be a few questions that arise in your mind. Let me say to you that He can answer whatever question that you have. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. You're the only one that can receive it. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon this lesson and upon this sermon. There may be a boy, a girl, a man, a woman that needs you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, we would thank you that you're in the saving business. Lord, I pray that now, whether it be a young man, a young lady, an older man, an older woman, whatever the need is, thou knowest. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them by knocking on their heart's door to the saving grace of God. We'll thank you and praise you in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number is it?
Page
165. 165, while we get ready to sing. If you need to come, come quickly while we sing.